stands for employers and fits conservative goals of giving people more purchasing power over their coverage. But this approach places the risk of finding the right coverage on the employee. John Scott reporting.
Nippon Steel and U.S. Steel say they've finalized their historic partnership a year and a half after the Japanese company first proposed its deal to buy the iconic American steelmaker for nearly $15 billion. The bid by Nippon Steel was buffeted by national security concerns. More at Town Hall.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority, and Dr. Bill Williams.
The Gulf Coast can expect mostly clear skies tonight with a slight chance of a shower or thunderstorm. Low temperatures will be in the mid-70s at daybreak. For Thursday, partly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms, highs in the lower 90s. And the outlook for Friday, scattered showers and thunderstorms with highs in the lower 90s. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams for FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Good evening and welcome to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today. And we've got a great show coming up for you, but first, we want to thank some of the sponsors that help make the show possible.
We certainly do. We'd like to thank the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Alabama Pipe and Supply, the Charlie Wilson Agency, AFS Foundation and Waterproofing Specialist, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, and Daphne's Hottest Place for Chow, the waterfront restaurant at No. 1 Yacht Club Drive, and also the Medicare lady, Miss Keisha Chambers, and Serenity Funeral Homes and Gardens. And we appreciate all of our fine sponsors working with us.
We absolutely do. We want to thank all our sponsors, and of course, you are great listeners, because we could not do this without your support. So please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. Of course, SBN is all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So you can join in the discussion on Facebook, or you can follow me on X. It's at Cal_SBN. And you can always check out scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information on the topics of the day. Coming up later on SBN, we'll be joined by one of our legal eagles from the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly. He'll get us up to speed on the legal issues facing our veterans today. And we'll also speak with veteran Patrick Trump from the Warrior Legacy Rants. And, of course, Tom's tirade on Old Glory. Good one you don't want to miss. But first, it's always great to be joined on SBN by a great patriot and supporter of SBN from the gastrointestinal empire that started with a sandwich. The meister of the burger, the governor of the grill, the potentate of the palate. Women love him and groceries fear him. Sweetness himself, Mr. Nick DeMario. Nick, thank you for joining us, and thank you and your crew for all you do for our veterans, military, and first responders.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And what a blessing to have you on board here today, Nick. You got a lot of good events and things going on over at that fabulous waterfront restaurant.
Yeah, we just had the fundraiser for the Warrior Legacy Ranch, our first big event. We raised over $15,000 in house, and then we got a $5,000 donation from the Porch Creek Indians. So $20,000, and then we do bingo and raise money. So we're getting over the $22,000 mark, and we still got a lot more work to do. I mean, it's a place that veterans can go and get help and come together, and we feel like it's going to be an unbelievable facility.
And it certainly will, and it's a real blessing for you and Pete to get involved in that veterans event there and help promote the building of that facility and helping Patrick with some of the other endeavors that he's been involved in and you've got down the road for him to gain the money that it's going to take to actually build that facility. So bless you and thank you so much for working with him, because it will certainly be beneficial to our veterans.
Yeah, we're going to do another event probably in October, maybe by the end of the summer, and we're going to just keep doing things to get to that goal. And you know, if you can help, go on the Warrior Legacy on Facebook, and you can donate, and it's for a great cause. I mean,
it's awesome.
Y'all know better than anybody, being in the service, how important this place is.
You know, another thing, how about giving us a little insight about these bingo nights that you have on Monday night over at the waterfront?
So on Monday nights, we do bingo, okay, and all of the proceeds for the cards we donate to different charities. Actually, starting this upcoming Monday, there was a family over there in Saraland that got in a boating accident.
Oh, yes.
And unfortunately, the mother was killed, and the child is in critical condition, and we are going to start raising some money for the family.
Oh, that's
and
awesome.
We'll have that waterfront Facebook page telling you more details. You come and play with us, you can win prizes. If you come for 4 weeks, you get a shot at a 50-inch big screen TV, and we do that every Monday night. We pick a charity, so you know, or somebody in need and help, and you know, we get a lot of calls, and we just try to do our very best to help whoever we can.
Well, it's an unbelievable charity that you are performing there, but it's such a great thing for the people that do love to play bingo, and for the ones that haven't, you'll have a blast. Is to go over and you know, partake of some of the food, and the fine soda waters and the adult beverages that there are available, and play bingo and have an exciting night, and you know, and then it's for a charitable event.
Yeah, we're blessed to have the two best waterfront properties in the area. AL.com said last year that Sunset Point and Waterfront were top five in the area, and you know, we just have great crews. Corey and her team.
Yes.
Are amazing. Jeff Shelby, you know, you can only do it by having great people, and we got them. And you know, food is fun, and entertaining with food is even better. And you know, it's just a great place. Both the restaurants.
Well, it's awesome. The food is great. The drinks are great. The hospitality is just unbelievable. With some outstanding people working there, and they've been properly trained by you guys. You have your own school to do that with. But then what about some music? Don't you have some music over there every now and then?
Yeah, so we play music on Thursday nights. That is our steel drum night, and we've got that outside bar open. And then Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday we do a little matinee for brunch. We're actually looking for some jazz folks out there. Anybody? You can hit me on Facebook, and you do a jazz single or duo, and just a great spot, Tom. Brunch on Sunday.
Oh yes, yes.
You know,
Cal might know somebody that can play some jazz music over there. He's got a friend in the industry.
Yeah, tell him to reach out. You know, we're always looking for great entertainment, and we just keep adding on days. It's just such a great facility, great food, very, very, widespread menu, place to set up and call about private parties. We've got all kinds of space there. So it's been fun. It has really been fun.
Well, it's an awesome facility there by the humongous back porches that you have looking over the bay. And you have some fans out there that they won't blow your hair, but they move the air. And also the misting machines that you have there, especially in the afternoons, when it cools down a little bit, it's just an unbelievable place to be. It's an awesome facility. And if you haven't, all you guys out there, if you haven't tried it, you haven't partaken of that facility, make it a point to go over. And if you like bingo, go over on Monday nights and see these guys. They do an awesome job.
One Yacht Club Drive. Come see us.
There you go,
appreciate
buddy. All right, thank you.
Appreciate having you on, Tom. I hope you're feeling better.
Okay, I'm trying to get there, brother. Thank you so much. Yes, sir. And as always, you can visit scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information. And on the other side of our break, Mr. Winslow Rouse from Gardberg and Kimberly, one of our legal eagles, will be on board with us there. And he's been on with us in the past and does a real excellent job of his presentation of the things that are beneficial for our veterans now, whether it be for additional benefits or, they also do Social Security or senior citizens work over there as well, if you're not a veteran. But we shall return shortly.
Fearless men who jump and die, men who mean just what they say, the brave men of the Green Beret.
This is my rifle. There are many like it, but this one is mine. My rifle is my best friend. It is my life.
I must master it as I must master my life. Without me, my rifle is useless. Without my rifle, I am useless.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
Hi, and welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. And hey, if you like to listen on demand, you can always catch us on the FM Talk 106.5 app. Our regularly aired shows are up there normally about the next day via podcast. So you can always revisit some of the information that we provide and our sponsors provide. And Tom's Tirade is up on castbox.fm. If you want to get your blood pressure going, get the blood flow in there. But it's always a pleasure to be joined on SBN by one of our C lawyers from the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Mr. Winslow Rouse. Winslow, welcome back to SBN, and thank you for your service to our veterans.
Well, here we go again, Winslow. Mr. Winslow.
Mr. Winslow, that's okay.
Hey, we can tell by the voice you are not that way.
I'm not. Yeah.
Well, I tell you, you have an awesome topic here for us tonight, and that is the fact that there's a possibility that there's some veterans that may not be receiving all of the funds that they would be possible to file for.
That's correct. Yeah, the Office of Inspector General has released a report that said that the VA may have been incorrectly paying veterans who receive special monthly compensation, or SMC. SMC is an additional benefit that veterans get if their service-connected conditions are so severe that they require extra financial support. And that can include like loss of limb, loss of a reproductive organ, severe deafness, blindness, or even veterans that are housebound.
Darn. I never even heard of that particular item, and to know that it is there. And I do know some of our veterans that would probably fall into that disability phase.
Right. And there's different levels that veterans can qualify for depending on how severe their condition is. But yeah, the report, and the scary thing is that the VA has said they're not sure how many veterans were underpaid, how they were underpaid, or even like how long this has been going on. Potentially they've been being underpaid for years.
Holy cow. Well, what would our veterans need to do to see if they fall into that category?
So if the veteran knows that they're receiving SMC, special monthly compensation, then they can request a copy of their C file with the VA. It takes them a few months to get them to them, but once they get that, they can see exactly how their payments have been calculated.
Well, wouldn't they pay those if they fall into that category? There wouldn't be any back pay involved with that, would they?
I think it's too early to tell because they haven't specifically, I don't think they know yet what veterans have been underpaid, but I think if they figure out that they have been underpaid, then there would be some back pay. I think the veterans would have a right to appeal.
That's awesome. Well, you know, most of us old vets don't have the ability to file all that paperwork and make sure we do it correctly. Then I think it would behoove us to get with Gardberg and Kimberly and let you guys handle that paperwork.
Yeah, we definitely could handle it. And more will be coming out in the next few months. The OIG has said that the VA has to certify the results of the review that they do, and that has to be done by July the 31st. So hopefully within the next few months, there'll be more information about it.
Okay, so that we will get some more information out that may be forthcoming then, right?
Right, as far as how many veterans were underpaid and for how long.
So the VA will actually be able to calculate that?
They are supposed to be able to. Yeah, the VA is supposed to. They've already identified the program that was doing the miscalculations, and they've stopped doing that. And so now the OIG has required them to go back and develop a testing plan to see exactly what veterans were being underpaid.
Well, what about the PFASs as a service-connected condition for veterans?
Right. So the recently a new bill has been introduced called the Veterans Exposed to Toxic PFAS Act, which would designate exposure to PFAS as a service-connected condition. So PFAS are long-lasting chemicals that very slowly dissolve to the point that they're called forever chemicals. They found PFAS chemicals in firefighting foam, military gear, industrial waste, and the CDC has said that those chemicals can lead to cancer, hormone disruption, liver damage, reproductive issues, et cetera. So this bill would make any kind of condition from PFAS exposure service-connected.
You know, this is not one of those deals where it was just at, say, Camp Lejeune, like their water deal. This is actually, I think there's, 700 bases that has known PFAS?
Right, yeah. The Department of Defense has identified over 700 bases with known PFAS exposure. So it would be a lot of veterans that would have been exposed to these kinds of chemicals.
So would it behoove any veteran right now that could come in and file for this potential claim?
They can file for it. Right now, the VA is just considering it under an individual basis, so case-by-case basis. But if this bill is eventually passed, then any veteran that was exposed to PFAS would have that as a service-connected condition.
Okay.
So not only would they get disability compensation for it, but part of the bill is also that they would get health care and their families would get health care as well.
Holy cow, okay. That would be an awesome payout for our veterans. But, you know, we as in the Marine Corps, we just thought that bases like Okinawa and then naturally the ground that we were on in Vietnam and then the instances we had at the Camp Lejeune were like singular incidents. But this would cover, 700 bases covers just about, yeah, I would think 90% of all the bases that every military man has been on, not just Marines.
I would think so, too. Yeah, I don't know the exact number, but I would think it would be the vast majority of veterans would be covered under this bill.
So then you would, Gardberg and Kimberly would be in a position to file these claims and help our vets work through that area?
Yes, sir, we would. Yeah, it kind of builds on the momentum of the PACT Act from 2022, but greatly expands it. So if this bill was passed, we could definitely help veterans file, and a lot more veterans would be covered under this as well.
Mercy. So does that have to do with the Mark Green on his K-2 Veterans Total Coverage Act of 2025? Is that what you're talking about?
Different bill. So that bill specifically is for veterans that served at the K-2 base in Uzbekistan. That base, it started off as a Soviet base and then turned into a CIA black site and was a U.S. military base that was a launch pad for going into Afghanistan after September 11th. Scientists have found that uranium was coming up through the ground at that base.
Holy cow.
As well as jet fuel and volatile chemicals from decaying Soviet rockets. So that bill is specifically aimed at veterans who served at the K-2 base in Uzbekistan.
Well, hell, it looks like there was over 16,000 veterans that served at K-2.
Right, 16,000. And those veterans are covered under the PACT Act, but this bill would expand on the PACT Act and include a bunch more conditions, including like bone disease, cardiovascular disease, skin disease, neurological disease, you name it, that would be included under there because it was so severe, the toxic exposure there.
Yellow cake uranium, never heard of it.
Right, coming from the ground. Yeah, they could see it coming up through the ground.
It was oozing from the ground at the K-2 base.
Right, it was, which is crazy to think about.
Unbelievable. But these K-2 veterans have reported some real rare aggressive cancers and reproductive organ diseases, from what I understand.
Right, yeah, they've reported, rare aggressive cancers, and as well as, like, sudden unexplained death, osteoarthritis, just a vast majority of cancers and everything, especially in younger veterans too, that you wouldn't see typically elsewhere.
Yeah. Okay. Now you had a provision. Did you talk about that on the National Defense Authorization Act?
Right. So that's a part of it too. In 2001, the Pentagon was supposed to complete a study on K-2 exposure within 100 days. It's been 4 years, and that study wasn't finished.
Damn.
So part of the bill was that this study has to be finished and completed by the Pentagon to know exactly what kind of exposures the veterans that served there were facing.
Well, how should we as veterans, with all of this really hadn't been finalized yet, but the potential of it is probably 90 to 100% sure to come forth. Should we go ahead and try to file a case now or what?
You could go ahead and file a case. It would be the same as the PFAS bill where it would be an individual basis. So you would have to have evidence that your condition was caused by the exposure at K2.
Oh, okay.
So you could file it. Hopefully once the bills are passed, then there will be presumptive service connection. So as long as the veterans can prove that they served there, then they will automatically be granted service connection for that.
Okay. So, and I think our veterans need to start talking around to the other veterans' buddies and all, and let's just see how many in this area might have been at that K-2 base during that period of time of their service. And if they do have some medical records, they need to try to put them together so they get ready for this bill upon its completion.
Right. Or if they think their doctor would be supportive and say that their exposure was related to the condition that they have, that would help as well.
Now that they know what they've been exposed to, they could relate that to the doctor, and then he would be more in a better advantage to let them know whether or not that they might have been exposed.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and more is coming out, every year as far as what conditions are caused by what exposure. So I think this is just the ground floor of it, honestly.
Oh,
the PACT Act was the beginning, and then hopefully all of these acts will be passed as well.
Well, we certainly are appreciative of you bringing that forth to our attention tonight, and we're so proud that Gardberg & Kimmel is one of our sponsors and that they have all of you smart lawyers, especially you lady lawyers, not misters, that are on top of all of this. I know, y'all will follow through with it. How can they get in touch with you?
Our phone number is 251-343-1111, or they can go to GarbergLaw.com.
Thank you so much. You did an awesome job tonight. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. You can always go to scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information. On the other side of the break, our veteran, Patrick Jump, from the Warrior Legacy Ranch when we return on the Scuttlebutt.
I am Gunnery Sergeant Hartman, your senior drill instructor. From now on, you will speak only when spoken to. And the first and last words out of your filthy sewers will be, sir. Do you maggots understand that?
Sir, yes, sir.
Can't hear you. Sound off like you got a pair.
Sir, yes, sir.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Along with Tom Claxton, I'm Cal Walters, and we're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today.
And we certainly want to thank all the fine folks that continue to help make this show possible. The battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Alabama Pipe and Supply, our sea lawyers, Colin Kimberly, and all the fine folks at the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, and one of our newest sponsors, AFS Foundation and Waterproofing Specialist, as well as Ms. Keisha Chambers, the Medicare lady, Daphne's Jewish Eatery, the waterfront restaurant at Number One Yacht Club Drive, and the Charlie Wilson Agency, as well as, you can't forget, the Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens.
Not at all, not at all. And we are happy to be joined tonight by veteran Patrick Jump from the Warrior Legacy Ranch. And we talked a little bit about that with Nick earlier. But, Patrick, thank you for joining us, and thank you for your service.
Yeah, my pleasure. You guys were worth it. Happy to be joining you guys tonight.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on board here, and we're so appreciative and proud to be able to help you promote your idea and your event and facility that you have visioned. That is going to be an unbelievable facility, Patrick, but give us a little bit of insight, a little bit more about what the vision is and what your game plan is now as to what will you be able to do there and what's your goal for working with our veterans at this facility?
Yeah, so the Gulf Coast Veterans Community Resource Center at Warrior Legacy Ranch that we're working with the PR Foundation, Panini Pete and Nick and the Baldwin County Home Builders on, we're building a place for veterans to be able to come, so without a bar in it. So it's just going to provide multiple resources. Yeah, we have a neurologist that's volunteering her time to do Botox injections for migraine headaches for veterans that suffer with migraine headaches. They can get that done for free without having to wait in the long lines at the VA. I have a chiropractor who's going to donate his time to do adjustments and take care of veterans. And then we have massage therapists that are going to be providing massages. But on top of all of that, we'll be planning events to get veterans out of isolation and just get them together. We'll plan events for the families and the spouses to come together, give them a place to come and complain about, you know, being married to a veteran, because it's not always easy. So I want to say it's sort of like a support group, but we're not calling it that. It's just a place that people can come and hang out. And then, you know, we have some other uses for the facility. The facility will be used for smaller nonprofits that may not have their own location, like a Marine Corps League, for example, could use it as a meeting space. Military Order of the Purple Heart, they can use it as a meeting space, and so forth, just to be able to expand the use of the facility and give veterans a place that they can come and meet and be veterans together.
Now, that is just one phase of your facility, though. Is that true?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that is just that's the first phase. The longer-term, bigger project is this 13-bedroom, 7,000-square-foot house that'll be used for platoon reunions, and that's a national reach program. We have 3.5 years worth of doing 50 reunions a year. We have 3.5 years of reunions already signed up, and we haven't broken ground.
Holy cow.
It is a large cost. It's $850,000 to build that, you know, 7,000-square-foot home. It's $850,000, and that's just because of generosity from in-kind donations from, like, the home builders. All of those guys, they're not taking a general contractor fee to do any of this work. They're doing it out of the generosity and the kindness of their heart. So we're able to keep the cost down that way. And then through volunteers, there's not going to be a whole lot of annual operating costs. You would think that there's this huge annual operating cost, but with so many volunteers and people in the community, we don't have that necessarily. We just have this large electric bill to keep a 7,000-square-foot house cool in South Alabama. But it's going to open up the South Alabama area to a lot of other veterans. And I can't think of any better group of people to introduce South Alabama to than a bunch of veterans.
Amen. And that would be a blessing to the veterans on the one hand, but also to that area I think you would have some additional influxes, as you say, of veterans maybe moving and getting closer to that area so that they can participate on that, and knowing that it is an all-volunteer facility, that would behoove a lot of our veterans to even get involved and maybe donating some time and all being mentors to some of our other veterans that may need some help.
Yeah, absolutely. And, we're not waiting on the building to get things going. We just did a baseball game at the Blue Wahoos Stadium, took some veterans there. We're going to do it again on August 15th, and tickets are only going to be like $10 to go to the baseball game. And that's through some generosity from the Blue Wahoos. So you'll be able to find that information out on our Facebook page. But we're also going to bat against the VA themselves. We had a big win in May. We pointed out some discrepancies in policies at the Gulf Coast VA Health Network from Biloxi all the way to Destin that serves 114,000 veterans. And we improved access to holistic care. So instead of now having to take this whole health course, which was 6 weeks and an hour and a half every week during the workday, you had to take this whole health course called Taking Charge of My Life and Health before you could receive massage therapy, acupuncture, yoga, through the complementary and integrative health care services that the VA offers. You no longer have to take that class anymore. We pointed it out to the VA that was not in line with the access to care policies that the VA has set forth, and they went ahead and removed that barrier, and it's in process right now. But Dr. Mitchell at the Gulf Coast VA has confirmed that requirement will be removed. So,
well, we'd like to stop right now and thank you for initiating this interest and drive to make that happen, because that was kind of a Yahoo type government rule to make somebody have to go through all of this stuff for 6 weeks before they could go get the treatment. You know, that's typical government red tape.
Yeah, it certainly was just red tape, but, it was an older policy that had been put in place, and new leadership had come in, and, they were just going by what was there. And I really encouraged the director to not accept the status quo and just say it is what it is. And,
He
was open and willing to listen.
That is awesome. We're so appreciative for you stepping up and doing that in the benefit of our vets. And all that being said, I realize that you are a disabled vet and have a disability. You are from in the Marine Corps. And how many years did you serve?
So I was 4 years. I had two combat tours, one in Afghanistan in 2004 and another in 2005 in Fallujah, Iraq. So, yep.
And you've been there and done that, so it's not like it's you're just talking about it, brother. You did the blood, sweat, and tears, so you know what the hell you're talking about.
Yeah, no, I've lived it. I understand it, so I understand what a lot of guys are going through, and that gives me the peer-to-peer counseling. And,
sure.
And keep in mind, I still work full-time to provide for my family, So everything I do at Warrior Legacy Ranch is pure volunteer. But
right.
I'll also add that it's probably a lot of therapy for me, being able to reach out and help other veterans. Like,
sure.
Mentally, I feel better than I felt 5 or 6 years ago when I wasn't doing that.
There you go. Okay. Well, we're blessed to have you involved, blessed to have you with the idea, and then be strong enough and mentally challenged enough to step up and try to make all this work. And we will certainly help you here with the Scuttlebutt Network in any way that we can and introduce you to anybody we think would be beneficial to what you're doing. We appreciate you being on board with us here tonight and bringing that to our attention, because I know a lot of people have asked, well, what is the Warrior Legacy? Well, what are they going to do? Why do they need all of this money? So, you know, we will keep bringing that information forward here from our airwaves and at Scuttlebutt. And that's what we're here for, is to support our veterans, support anything that's beneficial to them. And God bless you, brother, on what you're doing. How could somebody get with you and make a donation if they are interested in doing so?
So you can go to warriorlegacyranch.org on our website, or if you have Facebook, you can certainly find us on Facebook at warriorlegacyranch.org. You might even be able to find raffle tickets for Polaris Ranger. 1 in 250 odds. I think we're going to draw that one right about Labor Day. So
all right.
1 in 250 odds to win a Polaris Ranger from Baldwin County Polaris. Or I might still have a couple bottles of those Warrior Legacy Ranch Bullet Bourbons laying
there around. You go, buddy. There you go. Okay. Thank you so much, Patrick. All right.
All right.
Thank you, buddy. And on the other side of the break, my tirade on Old Glory.
Around.
What is your major malfunction?
And now, the original pork-eating crusader,
Mr. Tom Claxton.
This past weekend, on June the 14th, throughout our nation, folks gathered together to commemorate one of our national holidays. That's right, Saturday was a national holiday. But I bet most of you missed it. You see, Saturday was Flag Day, in honor and recognition of Old Glory. And don't get me started on just how tattered and worn our dear old flag has become under the current crew of politicians in the White House and on Capitol Hill these days. Needless to say, we have never been in greater need of this nation to rally around our national standard. But before I go too far down that rabbit hole, you see, people, many of them veterans, gathered together on the 14th to celebrate a holiday that is very important to our nation, but one, it seems, that has been forgotten by many. Hell, by most, if you look at that coverage on TV. And you don't hear of many Flag Day sales or get invited to many Flag Day barbecues, and yet we gather together each year to commemorate our national flag and to remember all that it means to us and to our nation. You know, maybe what is lacking in our celebration of Flag Day is not the celebration itself, but an honest and true understanding of just exactly what it is that we are celebrating. So Top Cat is now going to go all teacher on you. See if you can keep up, because I was around most of this time. On June the 14th, 1777, that was a good year, the Continental Congress, seeking to promote pride and unity in a fledging nation, adopted the following. Resolved that the flag of the United States be 13 stripes, alternate red and white, that the Union be 13 stars, white and a blue field, representing a new constellation. The stars at that time represented Delaware, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Georgia, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Maryland, South Carolina, New Hampshire, Virginia, New York, North Carolina, and Rhode Island. It is generally accepted that the flag that the Congress adopted was originally sewn by Betsy Ross and complete in late May or early June of 1776. However, the creation and composition of the national flag that we know today might not have occurred had it not been for a rather curious coincidence in the early days of the Revolutionary War. Earlier that year, on January 1, 1776, the Continental Army was recognized in accordance with a congressional resolution which placed American forces under George Washington's control, my buddy. And on that New Year's Day, the Continental Army was laying siege to Boston, which had been taken over by the British Army.
Washington ordered the Grand Union flag, which had the British Union Jack in place of our current Field of Stars, hoisted above his base at Prospect Hill, in compliment of the United Colonies. In Boston, on that same New Year's Day, the Loyalist supporters of Britain had been circulating a recent King George speech, offering the Continental forces favorable terms if they laid down their arms. These Loyalists were convinced that the King's speech had impressed the Continentals into surrendering. As a sign of the Continental surrender, the Loyalists mistook the flying of the Grand Union flag over Prospect Hill as a show of respect to King George. However, the Continentals knew nothing of the speech until later. Upon learning this, General Washington wrote in a letter dated January the 4th, "By this time, I presume they began to think it strange we have not made a formal surrender of our lines." Who says old George didn't have a sense of humor? But obviously a new flag was needed, and thus our national colors were born. As our nation had grown from its humble origins, our flag had remained a steadfast symbol of freedom throughout this world and rallying point for those who call this nation home. Perhaps the first words describing the meaning of our flag to an individual in time of war were penned in 1814 in the waters off of a besieged Fort McHenry by Francis Scott Key. As the smoke cleared from the fort and daylight came, he wrote, "The flag was still there." Of course, we now know his simple, heartfelt, handwritten poem as our national anthem. And for two centuries, now we have joined together to sing Key's words and pay respects to our flag, our men and women who have fought for and under the flag, and yes, those that have died protecting that for which it stands. In recognition of what the flag had meant to our nation, on June the 14th, 1916, President Woodrow Wilson issued a proclamation calling for a nationwide observation of Flag Day. And so we still gather, though our numbers are few, as so many have done before us, to pay our respects to our flag and to remember what it has meant to each of us. It is an honor and a privilege to be able to come together in respect to celebrate our national standards, remembering the many sacrifices that have made our freedom possible. And it is necessary that we who have served under the flag in years past take the time to pass on just what it means to those who haven't served and for those yet to serve. One only needs to look to the mess into which our progressive politicians and the dedicated communists within our midst have allowed our nation to descend into an order to realize what had always made America exceptional. That exceptionalism is ours because of those who have served under this flag, that have fought and died so that others may live and live in freedom, not only from enemies abroad, but from the tyranny of a government of elites. That those who serve, maybe even more so because they serve as an all-volunteer military, our brave men and women serve a higher cause than the meager paycheck that they get at the end of the month. They have and continue to fight for the principles, like duty, honor, country, and embodied by the flag. Contrast that with so many of the politicians that call themselves public servants, but who would truly like to see the American people as servants to their unchecked power. The politicians who spit on the Constitution and revile those patriots who fought for it. Those who bastardize the principles of freedom and liberty to abuse the American people and undermine our way of life. Those who have opened our borders to criminals and have looted our national treasures for their own enrichment. Those who would persecute patriots and encourage anarchists. Those who have sold our children and grandchildren into economic slavery without a second thought. I don't have to mention any names. You know them. But that is exactly why Old Glory is so special, because no phony baloney politician can steal from it what was earned with the blood and sacrifice of so many. And so I ask that each of you take a few moments with your children and grandchildren and tell them what the flag means to you and what it should mean to them, and hopefully one day to their children, should the flag still be there for them. For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Claxton. Oh, and congrats to the Army for 250 years.
Where's your drill sergeant, men?
Load up, sir!
Load up, sir! So am I to understand that you men completed your training on your own?
That's the fact, Jack! That's the fact, Jack!
These are exactly the kind of men I want working on the Scuttlebutt Network.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans. broadcasting live on 106.5 FM and streaming on scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Here on board with Tom Claxton, Cal Walters, a couple of Marines with just a little bit to say. The First Amendment right to say it and the fighting spirit to keep it. And, yeah, Tom, great tirade there, great information. And I know you were a participant in a Flag Day memorial over the weekend.
Yes, we were. We were at the Antique Car Club over on Ziegler Boulevard Saturday afternoon at their fine facility over there, and we performed a flag burning ceremony, proper burning, proper disposal of a tattered flag, and made a presentation there. We were presented the colors and did that. It's an awesome event, and just, you know, makes you feel so proud to be able to get the information out there on and how that is supposed to be performed in the proper etiquette to see that it's performed correctly.
Yeah, it is somewhat ironic that, you know, those who are marching and protesting violently in our streets, they love to be able to burn the American flag. At the same time, they want to get out and wave the flag from wherever they came from.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, they don't want to go back there.
But you know what? And that just makes me sick in my stomach to know that these guys hated their country so bad. They were so fed up with it that they stole and saved and did everything, scrimped every dollar they could to leave their country, to come to America because of our freedoms. And yet they get here, and they want to protest what we're doing, and when our flag is flying, and they want to fly their flag of that rinky-dink country they left. I mean, get load up your ass and go back to that damn country. Come on.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things, Tom, if you look at the numbers of or the breakdown of those who have been part of this migrant invasion. You know, most of them were able-bodied working men.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, it wasn't, you know, the moms with children, although they're there. But, you know, if they love their country so much, go back and
right.
Or stay there and fight for it.
Fight for it and make it better. You know, try to make it better.
Don't come here and try to drag us into that.
You know, let me relate that. I'll relate that back to a church. We had a pastor one time in a church that I was in, and he says, I understand that a lot of you are dissatisfied with our rules and regulations here and the sermons that I'm preaching, and that y'all all are considering going over to another church and moving over there. And he says, let me just ask you, please, don't go over there and ruin that church, too. You know?
Well, it's very, very true. I do think it was great, and I know we're coming up on the close here, but I do think it was great. I watched the military parade that they had in D.C.
And we should be proud.
It was not only the Army anniversary, but the Flag Day celebration.
Right, and, right. We should really be
President
proud.
President Trump. Just put up two rather large flags on the grounds of the White House.
They need 10 or 15 of them, as far as I'm concerned.
There you go. Hey, remember, hero is not a four-letter word. God bless America. We'll catch you on the other side.
Hoorah!